stay tuned. We are about to switch over. People may not think of Massachusetts as a hot climate, but as we all experienced this weekend, it can get hot here, very hot. But as with so many other things, not all heat is equal. In Chelsea, the entire city is a heat island. That is an urban area that is significantly warmer than the surrounding region, the whole city. In this week's From the Newsroom, WBUR health reporter Martha Biebinger joins us to tell us about what she's learned reporting on the ways that Chelsea has tried to address its heat problem. And that includes a recent effort to cool the city down a block at a time. Martha, welcome back.
Hi, Tiziana.
So recently, you're down in Chelsea. You're reporting on this effort called the Cool Block Project. What is it and who's involved?
Yeah, so it is just starting with one block, and it's an attempt to throw pretty much every urban heat intervention at this one block to see if the city can lower the temperature. So that means planting trees on this nearly treeless area, installing a white roof on a boys and girls club that covers about a third of the block. It means layering a coat of light gray rather than black asphalt on the streets, turning sidewalks into more porous plant-lined surfaces, turning a vacant lot into a park. This is all the brainchild of Green Roots. That's Chelsea's environmentally based group. And the city's on board, along with some researchers at Boston University who are going to kind of monitor the temperatures and feed data into this assessment.
And I'm just going to flag that Boston University owns WBUR's broadcast license here. So how do you pick a block to try out these methods? And how hot are we talking? So you've got a block that you're picking because it's a part of this heat island. What does it mean to be a heat island? How hot are we talking?
The heat island definition means that it's 20 to 40 degrees warmer in the summer than in leafier suburbs. So you might picture the difference between Chelsea and say, Newton, for example, if you've ever driven the streets of either one. This particular block has no shade at all walking up and down the sidewalks. As I mentioned, there's that Boys and Girls Club at one end and the vacant lot at the other. In between, there are 10 multifamily buildings with paved backyards for parking. It's right near the waterfront in Chelsea, which is very industrial. And so researchers last summer placed sensors all over Chelsea in trees and on buildings. These are researchers from BU. And they found a 7-degree difference from the relatively cooler parts of the city to these hotspots like this block where they're going to try all these interventions.
So the idea is to try to reduce
the ambient temperature, you know, down to something more like what's normal in Chelsea.
And so what you're saying is literally the physical characteristics of where you live could make it hotter to live there than somewhere else, despite climate, despite anything else, just because of your physical surroundings.
Yeah. I mean, you walk down a street with no trees along a black asphalt pavement and you just bake. You can feel the heat radiating off of you. And of course, that gets absorbed in many of the older buildings in Chelsea, which are brick, so they turn into these almost like little ovens.
Little brick ovens.
In the summer. Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, that leads to all kinds of greater health risks for people. Heat exacerbates the chances of cardiovascular heart disease, or it makes your asthma worse. It can increase your mental health problems. There are studies that show people are more aggressive in hotter climates. And if you ask the police and fire chiefs in Chelsea, they'll tell you they've noticed those things in these pockets. So it's a real health impact on a daily basis.
So tell us about this choice to do a bunch of things in one block versus a few things in lots of different places, given that Chelsea is entirely a heat island.
Yeah. So the idea here is to see if you layer a lot of these interventions in one place, can you have a greater impact than, say, you know, planting trees across several neighborhoods in the one city. And the reason to do it in such a compact way is to try to see what overlapping strategies work and which don't. And it's also to try to understand how much impact you can have on these especially sweltering blocks. Because Chelsea has very limited resources, so they have to figure out where to spend that money wisely, you know, where to get the best return on their investment. And that's what they hope this block will help them figure out.
So why Chelsea? What are the ingredients there? I mean, I imagine we have other neighborhoods, communities that are heat islands. You've been covering rising temperatures in Chelsea for several years now. What about the response in the city is different, and why is the city able to take on an initiative like this?
Well, there are a lot of things that are unique about Chelsea for all of those questions that you just asked, Tiziana. The demographics of the city make it one of the most vulnerable in our state. So this is many low-income residents who have to walk to work or ride bikes or take buses. They're not driving air-conditioned cars to air-conditioned offices. You know, there are many people are working outside or in unair-conditioned spaces, factories or wherever else. The city uniquely, though, also has an environmental group called Green Roots. There, the project is the brainchild of Green Roots. And so that group means that local residents are driving a lot of the interventions that the city is going to try. And that's going to help the city, that's going to help with buy-in for the project. It's going to help people feel like they own what's happening. And it's going to mean that what happens meets the needs that they've addressed, that they've said, here's what's wrong, here's what we need help with. So those two pieces are really what makes Chelsea somewhat unique when you look around Massachusetts and around the country.
So Martha, in our last minute or so, I mean, our listeners have gotten to know you over the years. And before the pandemic, you were beginning to turn some attention to climate health. Then you went deep for the station in COVID, right, these last 2 years. But is this the beginning of you moving more towards the public health intersection with climate change?
Yeah, that's definitely the plan, Tiziana. And it's not just public health. It's the intersection of health and all of the effects of climate change. You know, so for example, on our health systems, like our hospitals, on our individual health problems, like allergies. I mean, you may have noticed that the headaches and sneezing started earlier this year, and they're going to last longer into the fall. And then it's the broader public health issues like air pollution or heat and cooling one city block.
All right, that is Martha Biebinger, healthcare reporter for WBUR from the newsroom this week. Martha, thanks for the reporting and thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Tiziana.